I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade.
Welcome to the T Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. Well, that statement's kind of a lie for this podcast. In this podcast, I'm bringing in B-Lo. B-Lo and I go way back. We've been friends for a better part of a decade. B-Lo is a lot like me. He's a funny guy, has a lot of opinions. Sometimes he's off the wall, batshit fucking crazy. And every now and then I'm going to bring him into the show and he's going to be my co-host. So finally, without further ado, the T Podcast now has a co-host. That man's name on the podcast is B-Lo, and the two of us, just shooting the shit, we're going to entertain the hell out of you. So, listen to this podcast, to the shenanigans of both T and B-Lo. Thank you.
But anyway, T-Block itself...
I want to know, which dating apps do you use, or have you used? You used Grindr?
No, that's not my type of app. So I've had fucking...
Did you know the number one... I was reading a thing today on... You know, I read a lot of news. I may be a little crazy as I'm over here. I am picking up the little black things from socks somewhere. Like, I cannot stand those little black things. So I can't stand having those little, like, pieces of cloth or anything.
I was wondering what the fuck you were doing. You look nuts. So I'm over here watching B-Lo on fucking Skype.
I have a little black dots. And
the whole conversation is bending down. I don't know what he's doing.
I take off my socks in the bathtub, and I flip them inside out and rinse my feet just to make sure there's no lint on my feet when I take my socks off. And then I wash them inside out to make sure that all the lint is out, too.
That's another B-Lo mannerism with the weird shit you fucking do. I gotta take off my socks. That's nice.
La, 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 la. Hey, you know, I got a friggin' white rug. You know, what do you want me to do? Like, it just annoys me. I got white walls. White everything, white rugs, white furniture, like, you know, I'm living the gospel in here. But I was actually going back to this. I was reading, and I'll look this up as we're talking again, too, on venture capitalists and how much money venture capitalists have been putting into dating apps, which is, like, the saying is hardly anything. Dating apps are very profitable, but venture capitalists are seeing hardly anything. I think the number was, like, $127 million, and they list the top dating apps. The number one dating app for funding... most of the money, 80% of the money, I think, was the number. And again, I'm going by memory from what I read this morning. So if I'm off, it's, you know, somebody can Google the freaking article. But I think it's 80% of the money goes to China. And the number one app is, I think it's called Blue. I have to look that up. Like I said, I'm going to look it up. And it's the equivalent of Grindr. So just so
I never heard of Blue. Therefore, I wouldn't know about it. All right, let me tell you. So I wrote about on T-Blog, and I mentioned it here in the podcast, right? So my time on dating apps when I was using them, you know, about 2 years ago before I got out of the dating game again. I mean, then last year I was hooking up with a couple of women here and there, and now I'm back on it after all the shit I went through with my mom. I've had some experience on the app. So I met that mom of four on OkCupid. So OkCupid is really that. It's people coming out of fucking marriages around my age that have kids, and I can't do that anymore, so I'm off OkCupid. Tinder... Right.
So we got OkCupid.
Tinder definitely moms getting out of fucking relationships, marriages for the first time, looking to date.
OkCupid. Then there's Tinder.
Tinder is truly a young person's game, but even at my age, even at your age, a little bit older than me, there are people on there in our demographic just looking to fuck. Tinder is a true hookup fuck site. That's all Tinder is. You're not meeting anybody to date on Tinder. I had my little cousin, Joe, you met him at my like birthdays and shit like that. I met him on Monday. He uses it a lot. Again, I'm not giving any last names. I shouldn't have given his first name, but that's fine. He used to use it all the time.
You can bleep it when you edit it, you know, you can go.
That's fine. He would fucking swipe all that. We were out one night, at Hojoko, a few of us, and we were drinking and stuff. I was fucking one girl at the time, so I didn't really need her to come out to hook up, but he was swiping the entire night. And there was a girl that was coming in to meet him at the parking lot behind, like, Tasty Burger. And that's off of Tinder. And he pulled that all together right in the middle of our meal. And I'm like, good for you. I was like, we had, you know, the boys got a little bit fucking drunk. We had some food. We're all going our own way afterwards. And that's how Tinder was, like, pitched to me. And I got on there a few times, and I was like, well, maybe I can meet a decent girl around my age. And I guess it was a couple years ago. And it was fucking same deal. Like, as soon as you start swiping the pictures, right, it's very shallow, very little detail. And you get a girl in the DM, and usually a guy would make this move first. The girl would be like, so when are we fucking? When do you want to fuck? Where are we meeting? And I'm like, all right, so that's Tinder. I'm off that now, because the woman I'm going to marry, her first words to me are never going to be, so when are we fucking? So I'm off Tinder too. Bumble, I like. Bumble is the woman goes first. And how that is I swipe right. Women swipe right on me. That means we're a match. I can't initiate the conversation. That vents out a couple things. Vents out the crazy guys, the stalkers, or the guys who are like, oh, here's a picture of my dick, because she has to go first. She sees something in your little bio and your pitches that she wants to build on, because we both swipe right. She would say, hi, T, how you doing? And then I get to reply back. I can't message her first, because I talked to a couple of these girls on there, and they do get a shit ton of guys swiping on them compared to who they're selective of. So guys are more aggressive. They do that first. So Bumble, I've met a couple of women off that. Right now, I'm back in the dating game. I'm talking to a few off that. So Bumble is a pretty decent site. The next one I like is Hinge. Hinge, same deal. We both swipe on each other. Then it's a match. There I could start the conversation, or she can. That allows you to have about six pictures and a little bit, not a straight bio. Like on Bumble, you write a bio. It's like a paragraph. It's like, you know, 200 characters. Hinge is like a bio. It goes picture, little clue, like a little thing about your personality, like two truths and a lie. You know, it has something on there. Or something I never did, a place I want to go to, like shit like that, your favorite TV show. So as opposed to a bio, you could build on the commonalities of something like that. So it isn't as shallow like, oh, I think this guy's good looking, or, you know, I don't know any personality, because I got little signs of him. Oh, he's into Game of Thrones. Or this guy fucking writes scripts. This guy lives in downtown Boston. So we can find that, and then you can start talking. So right now I'm mostly focused on, as I get back in there, building up my repertoire of dating possibilities, is Hinge and Bumble. Now, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Or do you want me to get into what I'm noticing on these apps now? Because now I'm really honing in. Do you have any comments on the apps themselves?
No, I don't know enough about it, like I had stated, to, you know, it's all, you know, and I'm fortunate that I've never had to use one, and I'm fortunate that I'm not in a position to need one at this point. Not, I don't want to say need one, but to, you know, be out there looking at this point.
Yep.
You know, I think that, you know, the Tinder, you're talking about the Tinder. I actually, you know, I remember hearing Tinder because I went away for work with somebody, and he was a very out of shape man, probably not too attractive to most women. And he was like, oh yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, do you want to get something? He goes, oh no, I, you know, I'm going to just meet up with somebody. I'm like, oh, you have a friend out here. He goes, nah, Tinder. I'm like, what? And this was like my first experience with that. And he's like, because he travels a lot more than I do. And he's like, yeah, no. He goes, everywhere I go, I get on Tinder and I can meet somebody and, you know, I hang out. Because it was kind of weird, because I was like, you know, because I was expecting to go, not, you know, not that you have to go to dinner when you travel with somebody, but we get along and we're friendly and stuff. And I was like, hey, you have to work. Do you want to, you know, grab something to eat and grab a drink before we, you know, go back to the hotel or whatever? And I was like mortified, and it was like, and then I had a brief conversation with him, but it was similar to what you were saying, that Tinder is it's something like that. So there's Tinder, Bumble, OkCupid. Now, what about, I heard there's like Full of Fish, Grindr.
I don't do any of those.
They really are.
Hinge is, like I said, the one that I find beneficial. So let me tell you about what I'm coming across, and I think this would be a good...
I want to hear dating stories. We have to do like a news bulletin dating story if you ever go on any dates.
Well, I did back a couple of years ago, but now I'll fill you in once I start going back on the dates. I'm talking to a couple where we got off the DMing on the app to texting on our phones, which is the next progressive step. You have your little dialogue on the app. You take it to texting. Some of these girls, and again, they don't know how to really date. They want to go to FaceTime. They want to see you to make sure you're the person in those pictures. So as opposed to me still sending them a picture, I still could be catfishing them, or they could be catfishing me. I did meet a very large woman off one of these apps a couple of years ago that did not look like the person that I was talking to. It was like before her weight gain.
Oh, a Snapchat profile picture?
It was, yeah, it was a closely cropped face. and she was not looking like the way she did. And she was a sweet girl. And again, I'm not saying I had any problem with her weight gain. It's just that she should have been honest from the beginning. So it was a form of catfish. And I had a problem with that. Like me, I'm very honest about, you know, what I look like, who I am, fucking, you know, what I do for a living, my height, all that shit. So anyway, now that I'm back swiping again, right? Here's what I'm coming across, and I want to get your take. And I'm making notes in my head. Here is what I see a lot of, and it's kind of funny, and why they're on these apps. A lot of them, out of relationships, out of marriages. So they go to the apps because they don't know how to date. You know, they're getting older and they don't have time to go out there and date and meet people. So you go to the apps, you know, meet people at work. You don't go to the bars and the clubs anymore. You just got a relationship, just got a marriage. So you're swiping. So a lot of them are on there, obviously, for a lot of the same reasons I'm on there. But when they start putting little criteria of what they're looking for or who they are as an individual, here's some things that I notice. And it's funny how you get to see what's really important to some people. Like, this is your first shot. I call it your representative. This is you sending your representative to meet someone.
Your elevator pitch. Everyone needs an elevator pitch.
It's your 20-second pitch in the elevator, and you're over here. This is what you're focusing on. Here's why a lot of them are on the apps, besides the obvious reason I just listed off why, because you're not meeting anybody the way you used to, right? Some of these women are tall. They're very tall, and a lot of them are insecure about their height. I dated a woman one time. She was 5'10". We dated for a long time. Never bothered me that she was taller than me. When she wore heels, didn't bother me that she was 6'2". But it did bother her. And she was insecure about her height. And I get that. That a lot of women, again, as confident as I am, or a guy that is confident in his height, what he looks like, they don't like dating shorter guys. And there are a lot of tall women on there because they can't meet men because the average guy is still only 5'10", you know, 5'9", 5'10". So tall women are on these apps too, besides the ones looking to meet someone because they don't like going to the bars and clubs anymore. So tall women are on there. That's a big thing. There's also women on there who don't like short guys where they can fail freely. They'll put on there, you, meaning me, you have to be 6'2 plus. Where I said this on a podcast not too long ago, I can't put on there, well, you have to be under 110 pounds. Because it's okay for them to say, I want a tall guy. But God forbid you put on there you want a skinny girl. And everybody has their preference. And I think it's fucked up that women think it's okay for them to do that. Again, I can't change my height. A short guy can't change his height. But health issues aside, 99% of the fat women, and I'm calling them fat because it is what it is, or overweight woman, fat woman, can't change.
Look at me. I'm skinny.
Skinny. The humpty dance is your chance to do the hump. So they think it's okay to say that, but I can't say on my profile, well, you have to be skinny. So there are heavy women on there, but there are also women on there, again, that are tall. There are also women on there. Again, I have no problem with religion. I don't put my religion up there. I was raised Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you go to church, if you fucking rub the fucking Buddha's belly, if you go to the temple. I don't care about religion. It doesn't mean something for me. I don't care if you're atheist, and a lot of them put that on there who don't care about any religion. A lot of women on there are Jewish. And Jewish women that come from a line of true traditional Jewish families, they have to meet Jewish guys. And in 2019, a lot of Jewish women still want a Jewish guy. So you have to be tall. You can't be short. You have to be Jewish for some of them, right? That's a criteria. A lot of them, again, this is your pitch they put in there, and you'll get a kick out of that. They fucking put in there that Trump supporters swipe left, where they go as far as if you like Trump or voted for Trump, that they put on their fucking little bio, their elevator pitch, their representative snapshot, that you cannot have voted for Trump. I'm freely spoken about this. I am not a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him. But I'll be damned if I put in there fucking, you can't be a Trump supporter as well. So they have to put that in there, that you have to have the same political beliefs as them. So you got to have the same religion, and you also have to be tall. So as I'm going through all these swiping, and I tell you right now, left means no, you don't like them. Right. I probably go left 35, 40 fucking times before I find one that goes right. The left are, again, yes, you're not physically attractive to me. Yes, you may be too tall for me. Yes, you are too fat for me. Yes, I think you're a psychopath, that religion and politics are that important to you. You know what I mean? So that's what
politics, I could understand religion and politics because it could cause issues. I tell you, and then what I want
you
to do.
Let that come on the dates, man. Let that come on to the dates.
I do not. Yeah, but still, I can understand. Like, one of the things, like, I talk about some of this stuff is, like, there's a lot of fucking crazy people out there. I think our society is is changing, and maybe it's because the new social media, how fast stuff gets around, or we talk about like some of the piece you get. There's some, you know, there's still some very good people out there. I'm not going to say that everybody's bad, but I think from what I hear and talk about people who are single and they're dating, I hear some fucking horror stories to the point where, you know, 9 out of 10 people are fucking lunatics. Like, I told you this one person I know, she was telling me a story. She's telling me how like one dude, like first date, told her he has an addiction. She's like, oh, maybe he's going to tell me he's an alcoholic and he's recovering or something like that. He's like, no, I masturbate. You know, I have a masturbation addiction. And she's like, this is like a real story. But I'm a, you know how I am. And I'm very busy as well. And I'd be afraid of like everybody being a psychopath. And I'd be afraid of like catching like something. I mean, I worked on my fucking groceries. Never mind touching and meeting all these other people. You know, I'd be worried about catching BD and disease or something. So, you know, there's always that.
Well, let's say one out of four people has HPV and they don't know about it. Guys never show the fucking sign, protected sex or not. They say most of us are fucking HPV carriers.
The human papillomavirus or whatever it is. So you got to get the acronyms out. You know what I want you to do? I want you to pick up your phone, open up Tinder, turn it to where I can see it, and I'm going to tell you to swipe left or swipe right. And well, I want to know what your criteria is. I did this with somebody one time. We were in the city. I think, no, we weren't. We were going to eat. I think we went to eat. And a nice fake because we met in Boston. We were going out to eat, a couple of us. And that was one of the things with one of the individuals. I told him, I won't say who it is, but, you know, I said, oh, once you pull up Bumble or something, I just want to see what you're looking at. I even said, once you put, I know you can put in like age group. I said, once you put in my age group, something, what are you doing? I can see in your glasses, you're doing something. Hold the shit up. And I want to see. Okay.
So it's not just physical. Tinder's mostly just pictures. I got to read this little bio.
I want to see what it says. I want to see what it says. Okay. I can say this because it's on there. It says, it's blurry. Pull it back. Christina, she's 35. She's educator at Ash, the University of Rhode Island, 2009. What'd she like to do? You go, wait, go back. What's it say? What's her bio say?
I'm a proud mother to a beautiful 5-year-old girl, little girl, and an 11-year-old boxer. Not looking for hookups or pen pals. Oh, they hate that shit. They don't want a message on here for a long time. They call you a pen pal.
Let me see your face.
She's family friend oriented. I enjoy cooking, baking, traveling, fine dining, concerts, mini golf, comedy shows, working out, dancing, and laughing. And then it goes after that. That's her little bio. So Bumble has the bio. Then it goes into her little statistics. I don't do Tinder. I'm too far. I don't want on there. I'm too fucking. I'm not fucking with a fuck site. This is I want a dating site. All right. So below that, it goes her height. So 5'3". She has a graduate degree. 5'3". She has a graduate degree. She drinks socially. She never smokes. She has dogs for pets. She's looking for a relationship. She's a Capricorn and she's Christian.
Fucking left.
Left. You didn't even see the pictures of her yet.
I see the pictures. I'm not going by looks. I'm going by her personality. I see she looks cute as a 5'3" woman, but she has a 5-year-old child.
I agree.
And a dog. Left. I don't care about the child. It's a dog.
So
left.
Let's go to another one. This is a good example. Now, I've been on here a long time. I know that Mackenzie with the cropped face this tight, she's definitely overweight. Let's look at some of her other pictures and see if that
Harry
Bruce. How
many people put like Snapchat? If I ever saw like a Snapchat photo on there. All right, let me see your other pics. And what is Mackenzie? How old is Mackenzie?
Mackenzie is 35. She's never has kids. She wants kids one day. She's 5'4", has a graduate degree. This is cropped.
Right up your alley.
Close to her face.
That's cute.
This is a body shot. Watch, it reveals. Trust me. She got a lot of clothes on there with her friend. Now,
left.
You can kind of see the double chin in the shape of her. Notice that you got the roundness coming up to her shoulders. She's starting to have shoulders like a linebacker. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Man.
Again, I'm not judging her. So
see, now you're making me feel like I fell off the wagon. You know, I went out to eat Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night.
But bro, I've been doing this a long time. Look at her head. Look at that double chin. And look at how little the chihuahua is next to her. That means she's probably pushing a 170 at 5'4".
What? 5'4", 170? Yeah.
Now look at that double chin. Again, no body shots, no revealing.
But she might have a nice personality.
I agree with you. It has to meet in the middle. But right now,
swipe left. Next.
Left. Exactly. Left.
Go next.
Heather clearly is a looker and in shape from that one picture. I could tell just by the bone structure. And you could tell by her neck It's a lovely neck. There isn't any double chinness. I could see
right here. Like the chicken gizzards.
I look for the hank. I like the two little marks right here. When they have that, the line going up and no Adam's apple, which rules out being a man, you also get to see that Heather is probably fit. You know me. I'm a fit guy. I'm into the gym. I like the fitness. So let's scroll down a little bit. Heather's a financial advisor at a financial company. She's 5'6". She's active. Key, active. When they put that in, that means she works out like me. I have active in there. So now we're heading in a good direction. We're in the same industry. She has an undergraduate.
I'm learning this. This is good. I've never really. I've ever had a conversation. All right, go ahead. So she's active.
So like me, she's active. She has an undergraduate degree. She drinks socially. She never smokes cigarettes. She wants children one day, and she's a Taurus. We have a lot in common. Now,
how old is she?
She is 32.
Okay.
Right? So now we got a full body shot. Unlike the women that are overweight, Heather has no problem wearing a dress like this, and she likes to show off her shoulders, her neck, and her arms. It looks like Heather is not a catfish. She definitely takes care of herself. Another commonality that I am starting to like here below as I scroll down. Let's continue the scroll.
Then go right. What do they call those? You look for like chicken flaps hanging from the back of their arms. What do they call those?
Yeah, I don't want that, like the puncher bags that my nanas used to have, the Italian nanas. Heather also is very confident that she linked this to her Instagram. I don't, because I keep the T-blog side personal, so I don't have my Instagram linked. But this is a good sign that Heather wants me to see more of her. She has her Instagram linked, so I could actually look at some of those pictures, and she looks good. Heather's
swipe
also
right. Let's go. Next, right.
But this is – no, hold on. Let me show you the criteria. Like Heather here as well, she's showing her legs. Women that are confident in their body, that are not overweight, that aren't insecure, will show their legs. Heather has a nice pair of gams, as they say in the 40s. Nice pair of gams on her that I continue to scroll
down.
What's
a gam?
Gams are legs. And more in the lake. But she's kind of doing hillbilly shit. You know I don't like hillbilly shit, but I might have to give her the benefit.
I love hillbilly shit.
I know you do. But another dress where she's showing shoulders, crops out the guys. Maybe that's an ex or co-workers. And she lives in Boston, and she's in my area. So Heather,
don't swipe right.
We're going right now. I gotta hope that she swipes right on me and initiates the conversation.
Well, I want to know, right? I want to know. We're gonna write down Heather. Anytime somebody initiates a conversation, I want you to tell me the names, because I just wrote down Heather, and I want to see if Heather is one of them, and then maybe we can follow this T Heather experience.
All right, now here's a great one. This is good timing. Now, here's the shit I come across. Again, I'm not knocking anyone, but to float in your boat, I am looking for women on here, true women. Watch this. This is Ohm. She is Asian. O-H-M. Now, this is your first take. She's from the California University of Business and Technology. She shares her IG. Don't give out her IG, but look what's right below her IG. Can you read that?
No.
Getting you closer? Any backup?
It's like whited out. It's like it's too overexposed.
Okay. Well, right below her IG name, it says, in parentheses, I am trans.
Okay. Right. Wait, left. Wait, what do you do? Left.
No,
left,
go left. So, again, it's like I'm looking for true women this day and age that transgender women have no problem putting that up there. Some don't even disclose that they are trans. I have to figure that out by seeing, like, I don't know, a 5 o'clock shadow, seeing their Adam's apple. And that's the shit you got to be careful for. Like, that is the shit that you're coming up against. She is an Asian trans woman. So, yes, for me, that's not what I'm looking for. So, Ohm, you are getting swiped fucking left. One more, and then we'll continue this conversation. Abby. Abby looks like a nice, young, beautiful lady. She's 35 years old.
Boston College.
Boston College. She's Boston Irish, Lombardi Italian. What does that mean? Lombardi Italian? Like, not quite Italian? What's Lombardi? Like, Lombardi Trophy?
I was going to say Vince Lombardi. I mean, Boston Irish I get from being in the area, but Lombardi Irish?
So she, you searching that? As you search that, let me read the rest of her bio. She loves to volunteer, travel the arch, trying new restaurants. Ooh, we have that in common. I don't quite volunteer, but I do all that other stuff. Work in development and alumni relations. Give me all the puppies. I love dogs. Boston Strong, Jersey Love. University of New Hampshire, Boston College, Special Olympics, Boston's where she lives. She's 5'4", has a graduate degree, and she's Christian. That's her in a hoodie, so she has no problem sharing her dress down. And she also is holding a dog.
Oh, forget it. Left.
What do you mean? I want to get a dog one day. Look at it. She's cute. Great smile. Look at that smile.
Okay.
Good smiles. Her friend. Nothing. Nothing so far.
What's her name again? We're going to swipe right. What's her bio say again?
Did you read the bio? Special ed child. She's into that stuff. Again, Boston Irish, Lombardi Italian, love to volunteer, travel the arts, trying new restaurants, work in development, alumni relations, give me all the puppies, Boston Strong, Jersey Love, University of New Hampshire, Boston College, Special Olympics, Boston. So I think she probably went to UNH for her undergrad and Boston College for her graduate degree. 5'4 graduate degree Christian. I would swipe right on her. Do you object?
What's her name again?
Abby.
Abby? How old? I'm writing this down. We're going to swipe right, but I want to know.
35.
Abby, 35. So we got Heather and Abby we're swiping right on. All right. Why don't we go over to Hinged? And then what I want to talk about at one point, because I do have to go make some wings pretty soon. I want to talk about my, we have to talk about some dining experiences for this past week. You know, yes, let everybody know about my sushi experiences. And I'm done. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm never drinking again, ever. Yes. I'm going to give away. I'm going to drink no more than one drink socially when I go out, but I'm done. I'm going to give away my alcohol, you know, all the vodka that I have here and everything. I'm giving it away. So we're doing one more because you can cut this up to little sections. I don't want to, you know, go too long. Let's go over to Hinge, actually, because all I don't, right. You know, people have to listen.
Let me share the setup of Hinge again. Hinge isn't swiping, it's liking. And it's not a bio. It breaks up pictures to little snippets about the person. So let me show you. Here's what pops up. The first one, landing here, it's Ashley. So Ashley has a photo, and then below it is a snippet about her life. Weirdest gift I have given or received, an Elmo onesie. Dear me, and I'll wear it on our first date. I don't know if that's weird or she's a little risque, if you will. So as I scroll down, it goes into another picture. It's Ashley playing golf. I don't play golf. So so far, I don't know if I'm into Ashley. It goes into my about me. She's 38, 5'3", from South Weymouth. She drinks sometimes, doesn't smoke cigarettes, doesn't do drugs. She's a project manager. She's Christian, and her political beliefs are moderate. So she's in the middle. Another picture of her on a skiing trip. Maybe that's her dad. I don't know. It's an ex. That's pretty ballsy of putting that up there. Here's her in a
fucking like to ski.
I don't go skiing, so it's her in a mountain. Another little quote. My ideal sick day. Hiking or snowboarding in the mountains. See, she loves the fucking mountains. Anything in the mountains. It literally says anything in the mountains. I call this okay. Real shit.
Powder, so we're not powder, liking one.
Powder flu in the winter is a real problem. I don't know what the fuck that means. Oh, here's a picture of her with Teddy Bruschi. You know I love the Patriots, but the fact that she probably met him in a mountain because they're both wearing like cold winter jackets bothers me that she's a mountain hillbilly chick in her most irrational fear. Birds and squirrels. I actually had a freak encounter with a squirrel once. Scarred me for life. So she loves the mountains and hates squirrels. Oh, there's another picture with her of Bob Ewell. She tends to be, I don't know if she's knowledgeable in Boston sports, but she has a thing for retired Boston sports professionals. She could be a groupie. I have come across women like that in the past where they have sucked the dick of these former athletes. So to me, I'm judging Ashley that she is a sports groupie, likes them on the older side, likes the mountains, likes the snow. And Ashley, as opposed to swiping, you X her out. They see the little X in the bottom? Ashley will get X from me, and therefore I hopefully will be removed from her queue as well. That is
good. I like this process. Let's do another Hinge because I want to get something done here because I want to follow up with you and your dating experience because you need to get out because you have become a homebody, chronic masturbating.
I'm chronic masturbating.
Dude, you sent me a snap the other day, you jacking it by mistake.
Yeah, you know I would never send that shit. Pun intended. I do send shit pics, but I would never send that. Anyway, says the guy who.
Oh, you know, I was talking to someone.
Hold on. You get a hot on from watching Dr. Pimple Popper and my 600-pound fucking life. You're in the dark, and you send me videos of you on the couch watching that shit at nighttime, late at
night. Listen, I just watched Dr. Pimple Popper the other night because I've had a rough couple nights, okay? I've had fun, don't get me wrong. I just ate too much and drank too much, so therefore, you know, I went out for the best tacos in the world, in my opinion. For Valentine's Day, I drank too much vodka. I had free Jello shots at the restaurant. I was little heart-shaped Jello shots. I was impressed. And then Friday night, I went out for my, you know, my new tradition of Mai Tai Fridays, because, you know, I started drinking Mai Tais on Fridays and having sushi at a place that's close by. Then last night, I went out for sushi again with a group of people, and that is a whole other experience. I had a great time. I just ended up at a place that baffled me. But like I said, I'm not saying I had a bad time. I had a great time. You know,
give me some more details on this place, because we were talking about it earlier today, obviously off the podcast. What happened at this place? What was it?
Dude, there was like people. I felt old. Right. Because I was with old people. It's not that I was with like everyone. They were young and I was the oldest one in there, which is typically what happens. I'm like the father.
And this is a sushi restaurant, this place?
No. The sushi restaurant. I went to Ichi in Franklin. Like Ichigo in Franklin, man, is hands down. Like I told you, I'll go to Saga on Sunday or Monday at Gillette. I'll go to Ichi now if it's not Sunday or Monday. And then Friday I go for sushi up here. I actually went for sushi last Sunday. Then I went to the casino and drank and then picked up Chinese food on the way home.
Now you may be whatever you want to call it. You got a situation with a significant other and you may be getting out there, but for me, of course I'm ready to get back to that stuff. I don't want to do that. I do not want to be eating fucking takeout every night or at a restaurant. I do not want to send my friends.
No, I'm done, because you know me. Like, I've always
fucking McDonald's. No.
More so in the past couple of years, you know, I was like, you know, I realize now I'm like slacking because I was extremely fit. My body fat was really low. And now I'm like, you know, I'm going to try out for my 600-pound life, which I love that show. But then, so Thursday I went out to eat and drank. But no, I was telling you the story. There was this place, man, like with these older people. And I actually started feeling bad because I'm like, oh, look at these like old guys. It's like, they're like,
what is it though? What is the place?
I don't remember the name of it. I'll find it.
Well, what is it? What type of place? Is it a bar, a lounge? What was it?
It's an Irish bar right next to a hotel. And then I was with some people and they were looking and someone goes, oh, that girl over there is a prostitute. And because there's this other weird girl sitting with her. And I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, just watch. I'm like, there's old prostitutes? They go, yeah, there's a lot of people go. The hotel's right there and stuff like that. And dude, I was watching. The chick had a rental car key. She's like, look, she has a rental car key. And then there's a couple of them over there. And then, like, this weird lady left. I said, is that the prostitute lookout? And she goes, yeah. They go, want to know who's going to steal the deal for the night. And then she leaves because it was getting late. But, like, you could tell.
Well, it's
like,
because you were near a hotel bar. I mean, that's where anytime I've been on the road, obviously on vacation, but when I was doing, like, you know, dabbling fucking the sales days, marketing, traveling, any hotel bar – mostly on like Sunday nights, because that's when guys come in to start their weeks. Never really on like a Friday night. Most hotel bars, they do have prostitutes there, whether they're obvious or not, because obviously it's illegal in Massachusetts. But like, for instance, a friend of mine, his baby mom, would not give him too much away.
Like, was it Mayan or is it mine?
No, friend of mine. And his
friend of mine or a friend of yours?
This friend of ours, what we in the mob. So his baby mama used to work at this high-end steak place in the Seaport in Boston. And it didn't matter what night of the week we went there, there would always be these, you know, you could kind of, I don't know if it's like a guy instinct, a guy radar. You could kind of tell, for some of us, we could tell what the prostitutes really are. And you could tell they'll post up at a bar and they would hit on the guys that would come in there. Actually, you know what? We would go in there on Sunday nights after the Pats games. So we would go in there and we were like, these got to be prostitutes. And we asked her because she worked there all different shifts and she knew the Sunday night clientele. And the Seaport has a lot of hotels. And she would say, yeah. Anytime the hotel, especially on Sunday nights when guys come in, you know, married guys, sales guys doing their thing, they want to get a good meal, they want to get a steak, which is kind of traditional for sales guys on the road. You get into your restaurant, you got to get your dinner, you got to start your week. You probably have an early morning Monday meeting where you want to get a steak. That's kind of what you go to. And to kind of, you know, take the edge off, a lot of these guys, they go to the prostitutes. But yeah, they've never been in their 50s. They're usually in their 20s and, you know, maybe early 30s. But as you should know, hotel bars always have prostitutes.
This is, I was like, dude, I'm telling you, honestly, I was like mortified. I was traumatized. I actually want to go back to see if the same prostitutes are there, to see if it's a regular thing. Or I should talk to the bartender and say, is that like, I was like dumbfounded that this is like, was occurring at, like with older people on a Saturday night. It's like, I don't know. I guess old people need love too. But yeah, so great sushi last night, drinking. I ended up doing
that middle ground of feeling old and not too young, right? Those also the type of people. Prostitutes aside, this place you were telling me earlier that, you know, you felt like that you weren't but you weren't old, but now you're feeling old.
Yeah, because it was like the age group a little bit older than me, right? So the age group in the 50s, I would say, like late 40s, early 50s. So I started like thinking like, usually I go out, you know, I always think I'm like this young whippersnapper in shape and stuff like that, and I feel good. And then I was actually now at a place where I could see like almost like the next generation.
Yeah.
And I started to feel like, you know, I don't think I want to, you know, I've always been saying lately, and it drives Mary crazy, that I don't want to live past I'm 65. I tell everybody that. I said, you know, but now I think it's like 55 because.
Shit, man, I only got about 5 more years with you.
Yeah, well, I'm like 92 right now. No, I want to live as long as I'm happy, healthy, and coherent. Well, not even, I don't even want to say happy, but I'm healthy and coherent. You know what was the killer for me? The real killer for me was that I stopped on my way back. I stopped at McDonald's for breakfast. That right there, I haven't had McDonald's. I couldn't even tell you the last time I had McDonald's, right? I don't eat that food. I do not believe. I mean, I've had a couple late night Wendy's because the people I was with, I think you and I went one night.
Yeah, we just literally ate. And then we came out of the restaurant. We pulled out of that restaurant. We went right to the drive-in of Wendy's. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? I'm like, I'm good. I just ate 3 pounds of steak tips. I listened to the fucking, oh, what was I calling that band? Because they were performing their songs. That one's that fucking, oh, whatever it was. Like, you know me, I'm not into that shit. I'm like, oh my God, listen to a live fucking band. Now I'm leaving. I'm not in the city. We left that restaurant and we pulled into a fucking Wendy's. And I'm like, but we just pulled out of a restaurant. We just ate. What the fuck are we doing?
Listen, and that's why I have to get back into shape and watch what I eat, right? And go back to eating and cooking myself and just going out to eat one night a week. And Mary's on board now too, because she just told me she felt like a zombie all day. And again, it's the day after, you know. And again, with me, I'm getting older, and you know this.
Yeah.
The older you get, like, the longer it takes, because and it's not even the fact of like, you know, I had like a 500 drinks or five drinks. It still takes me 3 days sometimes to recover. Like, I'm probably be recovering from last night tomorrow night, and then Tuesday I'll feel good. And then, yeah, I'm done. After that, I'm done.
You're right. Yeah, but we talked about how bodies are changing. It's like what I went through with the stress of my mom and then my own health shit this past year. Even in my prime of like the heavy lifting days when I was at the gym 5 days a week, I don't do that now. But I am at the gym 7 days a week, and I'm afraid to have a cheat meal. I'm afraid to have pizza. I'm afraid to drink because I think my heart's gonna start racing again, or I think my head's gonna get fucked up.
Yeah, and that's a little bit different.
And I get a little bit balanced.
I have to get back to my 7 days, my 6 days a week schedule, and the eating well and the pizza. Remember my pizza cheat nights? My one night was used to be used to the pizza. Yeah, no, you have to live too, right? I mean,
you gotta enjoy yourself.
You can't be like psychotic and not eat anything because of like the vanity of this or that. I mean, yes, you want to watch what you eat as you get older so you can become healthy. And I don't want to be overweight because, you know, I don't want to run up the stairs and, you know, be out of breath. I want to be in shape, but the problem was, like, even like I said now, is I like to go out to eat, and I like to go out and have a good time, right? And then and you talked about this, you start hanging out with somebody regularly, you know, in a relationship type sense, you know, it's very easy to say, hey, let's go and get an eat, and let's go eat and drink.
Become comfortable.
If they're in the same, like, fun, it's not like a bad habit. It's like you have fun, you like to go out. You're happy to go out and do things, talk, laugh, this, and next thing you know, you're eating fucking 47, you know, pounds of steak and 36 vodkas and picking up Chinese food on the way home. Like, after you just ate, you know, enough food to feed a small country, you pick up a big thing of takeout Chinese food. Although up here, the best takeout Chinese food in the world.
Everything's up there. Best Chinese takeout. Best sushi restaurant.
Sushi restaurant, I'm actually after Friday night. You know, it's great. It's I realized it's pricey. The guy's really nice. He makes it. He cares. He doesn't make it as tight. You know, it's good, but I prefer, you know, like I said, Ichi is like going to be like, I'll drive, like, you know, I drive to Saga or to Ichi. It's still the same amount of time. So, but Ichi on, it's good. And Ichi makes lychee martinis, like real lychee.
I like lychee fruit. When I used to go have my people Haru, we always ask them, because we know all the jams on there, like, just give me and my buddy a bowl of lychee fruit to snack on. I like lychee fruit. But
I love it. And it, most people, like, would make the martinis with just the Jesus, I can't even think of it, the syrup.
Yeah.
And they actually have, I have to stop wearing these again. I'm going to get out of there.
But let me recap your week. So you went 3 nights in a row, straight sushi and drinking, to a night at a bar in the casino.
No, I had Valentine's Day. I had fish tacos, amazing fish tacos, and bang bang tacos, like one of each, with French fries and vodka, a lot of vodka, and then that was Thursday, and then Friday, I was actually good with the drinking, because I drank so much on Thursday that Friday I had 2 drinks and I had a lot of sushi.
Yeah. And then last night was the bar, the casino, taking home Chinese food.
No, last Sunday was, we went to lunch, drank, ate a shit ton, went to the sushi hibachi place. It was the first time going there. It was actually pretty good. Then we went to the casino. And I can't even tell you what happened at the casino. It was because, you know, it was crazy. And what did me on Thursday night too was, you know, my water bottle trick, right?
Which one?
What, pour vodka in a water bottle, like a clear water bottle, like a Poland Spring bottle?
Yeah. You would do that time when we were talking about that.
I've been doing that. I still do that. So I did that Thursday when we went out. I was like walking around because I was having a couple drinks. Before we went out to eat, we're trying to figure out where to go, like, you know, what we wanted to do. You know, do we want to pick up something to take out? Do we want to go out to eat or whatever? So we ended up going, and I said, oh, I didn't finish my vodka, so I poured it into the water bottle, and I just go into the restaurants. And that's what does me in, is I do that type of shit. It's a roadie, right? You take a roadie with you. I mean, I wasn't driving, so it's not like, you know, I'm saying I'm drinking, I'm going out to do all this stuff. I'm very careful of that. I will not drive.
But you do drink over and over again, and you do tell me and our third friend, which we'll get on the podcast one day, I'm never drinking again.
I don't think he'll ever come on. I think he'll be too, you know, important somewhere to talk to us.
He hasn't even given me any feedback on the podcast, listening to the two of us talk. You even have the most insight of the exchange that we have. Be interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? When I'm in the new place for Marathon Monday, if, again, we'll play it by ear, because it is the Game of Thrones premiere the night before, and I was thinking about maybe having some people over in my place, because I'll be up in the place. I'll have the new place set up, furniture. It's going to be ridiculous. Maybe if you can, depending on the train schedule, as we because we start drinking early, maybe if you could catch an early one before everybody comes over to my place. If I get up early enough to get a workout in, and you could come over – and early enough, maybe we could do a live podcast together real quick to kick off.
Don't
Marathon.
Work out. Or I'll just come. Yeah, don't work out.
All right. I like to, because that's how I get my energy going, metabolism for the day, because we do a lot of fucking damage.
Yeah, but we can do, you know what, we'll do a podcast workout live. Like, in your new place, we will do push-ups, sit-ups. You know, I'll let you hold my arm and you can do chin-ups, right? I'll hold my arm on the door and you can do chin-ups. All right, I'll pick you up over my head. I'll do, like, you know, deadlifts with you and stuff like that.
But I do want to, you know, get the Marathon Monday kickoff, couple of drinks. We'll get around one microphone. We'll just record, and then maybe I can just get it out there real quick.
Well, you know, the Hinge thing, we didn't get too much to do. I mean, again, we're going to have to break this up soon. But Marathon Monday. Last year, we made, you know, Marathon Monday, historically, I remember the first year that I had gone, I was told, it's no women. And, of course, I show up, there's a woman there. Okay?
Listen. You bring whatever you want. There are the rules. Back then, it was. I never even said that to anyone. There were certain people. I occasionally brought a date, and there are two people in particular.
I specifically asked if
I didn't jump in on that. We're going to get into that. A certain person that's not on this podcast was hopping on that, and we can't make mention about
this. No. This was years. This is year one. I'm talking year one.
Oh, year one. It was just a bunch of friends. 2 years ago.
Yes. I'm not talking last year. I'm not talking last year. Year one. Year one, no women. Year two, no men. I don't care. Everything was going, and every year, women would go there. Like, people are bringing wives, people are bringing girlfriends, and I'm sitting there going, I thought those was men only. So last year...
We never said men only. It was usually just my core of friends, and then...
Okay, no, you said no. Hung up on that. Listen, so last year we said, okay, women can go, right? Well, no, I don't want to say women, okay? People could bring... A significant other.
There you go.
A date, yes.
Because you guys got mad at me when I met up with girls afterwards. I usually never brought them to the restaurant.
I got mad at you because I was told I could not bring anybody, and here I am sitting outside on...
Lansdowne.
Yeah, it was Lansdowne. I didn't know if we were on... I couldn't remember if we were on Causeway.
It was Lansdowne. Like 10 minutes. So drunk. You had no concept of time.
We're having a drink, and then it's like... I'm not even... And then we're going to talk about the year that we walked around in the fucking pouring rain into like 12 bars because you thought you were Macho Man. We're going to pick up a chick. And I got in line and we were ready to order drinks in all these bars. And you're like, okay, I got to go. And we had to stand in the fucking rain and walk around the whole city of Boston. But anyway, the point I was trying to make.
That's when you were angry, B-Lo, and I was angry, T. That's why we get set in our ways and we were like, fuck this.
And I said after that, I stepped foot in a bar, I'm ordering a drink. And none of this running around. And then you, like, sitting outside, you're like, okay, we're going to go to another place. Fucking 45 minutes in Lansdowne, 90,000 degrees outside, sun beating on my head, fucking waiting for this chick. Because she had to go to the bathroom.
It was and 10 like, minutes.
45 minutes later. Like,
hold on. You leave up. A big part of the story. Here's where I don't like talking after the fact. You forget everything when you're drunk. When you're sober and tell these stories, like, later. I will tell you what went down. That was a girl that I started dating at the time who had her friends. She had her friends around her. I also had to bring my friends over from the game. There were also other friends meeting up at that spot. And then I had the three amigos fucking with me, you guys. And I had to get that all together. I, the generous guy that I am, order around the drinks and around the shots. The drinks come. The girls had to go. They take their shots. I get another round of shots. You guys take my shot and you leave. I never got my shot back that fucking day. And I know I usually that comes back around. But there are certain people that love to do that and leave. The girls had a piss.
There's you never got your shot back because you were waiting for a fucking chick to come out of the bathroom and told me I was going to another bar. And after 45 minutes, I said, fuck it, I'm leaving.
There is a fucking line and a half at any bar when guys are drinking. Do you know what it's like on Marathon Monday for fucking broads who have to squat? We literally go in there and piss in sinks because we're fucking animals. We're savages. But that fucking line, they had to wait. And she left. I turn around. The other shots coming in my hand, my boys are gone. I'm getting texts from you saying we're outside. I'm like, hold up. Come back in. We're still drinking. No response. Finally get back to you guys. You leave. It was literally 15 minutes, and I'm like, where the fuck did my boys go? And you guys never even met back up with me. I had my cousin with me. The other guys had to leave. I'm going to meet another bar. I had the broads with me, and the three amigos are fucking gone. So that was payback.
I ended up having a good time.
That you guys were bitching about the rain. So, yeah, that rain year, I fucked it up. But that year, you fucked it up. And then the following year, we had a blast when you passed out on fucking on the streets of Boylston Street. And then last year, got rained out. And here we are at year five. What's it going to be? Time will tell. I don't know. I'm in the new spot. I had health issues. I'm trying to be happy, T. You're trying to be happy, B-Lo. I think this year is going to be a wild card. We bring significant others. Maybe we don't. We meet up with broads. Maybe we don't.
So significant. So people are dates are sanctioned this year.
It's on that person. As long
yes,
as
you. But I'm saying no one's going to. You know, you set the rule. You know,
no rules. As long as you say, T, I want one ticket or 10 tickets to come payment time, I get my money, you all can bring whoever the fuck you want. I'm inviting a lot of people this year, but I know only certain ones are willing to pay for tickets. So I'm only going to extend that offer to people. And mind you, you know I don't like doing that. I love when people, like, you're one of the first people every year to cut me my check, whether it's you or you bring your brother on a date. That's great about you. There are some people which I don't like, and I'm not naming them, but they know who the fuck they are. Every year, I got to worry about how I got to offset their tickets. T, so-and-so wants to go this one. Next thing you know, I'm tracking down guys like a fucking, like a bookie about to break some kneecaps at a fucking race.
I follow that rule. You know what? Lannister always pays his debts. If I tell you I need two tickets and I'm saying I need two tickets, I'll pay you for two tickets and I'll worry about getting the money from the second person.
And your best friend, your brother, your wife, your fucking mistress, your gumad, your fucking first grade school teacher. You do whoever you need to, as long as you give me that money right away. I'm not doing that. And then I got to walk around with you to collect your friend's fucking money. I can't stand that shit. And a couple of people do that. So I don't want this one person thinking it's just them. I get a guy every year saying, you got more tickets. Like, I'm a drug dealer. Do you have more crack? And then I give this motherfucker tickets. And there was one year I'm waiting outside of fucking Lansdowne Street at a different gate because so-and-so has to come and pay me. Like, nah, you're responsible for your friend. You cut me the check. If you get three tickets, cut me your check for $300. And then if you're going to collect two from your friends, you collect that $200. I don't need to go around with you collecting that money. So I don't like that shit. Every year, as much as I love Marathon Monday, I love my inner circle. But when that inner circle wants to bring other people into that circle and I got to deal with that ticket bullshit and tracking people down, it makes Angry T want to come back and cold cock you in the fucking face. You're always good with that, and I love that about you. But I got to be very careful how I open that shit up because my day gets ruined where I can't just drink with friends, where I got to meet so-and-so at the gas station, so-and-so at gate C, so-and-so at gate D, so-and-so at the seats, or I got to meet them at this bar afterwards because I got to collect ticket money. And every fucking year, I always eat one or two tickets, and that's the gamble I take when I have people come in. And it's just that it's a pain in my fucking ass. I want to get drunk. I want to have fun. I want us to forget what inning we left the game. And don't remember what bar we went to see my friends passed out on Boylston Street. I love that shit. But that is a big undertaking that I got to go through every year for Marathon Monday. I got to put the disclaimer out there. Last year was rained out. I'm in a new spot. I want to invite some people I haven't invited in years. Just give me the money for the tickets beforehand. You know my new address. Mail it to me. And let's have a fucking blast that day. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, I need your new address when you...
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you off the podcast because the groupies may track me down, but now that I got 24-hour concierge, nobody's coming into my building. They're going to be like, Mr. T, Becky is out here to see you. And I'm going to say, you tell Becky from fucking Hinge that that first date didn't go too well because she had linebacker fucking shoulders and she wanted me to be 6'2", and fucking she wanted me to be fucking into Buddhism, and I couldn't do that shit. So I get that now. I could turn them away. And Marathon Monday, it'll be hilarious if I'm like, yeah, Belo's down here. He wants to come up. I'm like, who? Who's Belo? Send him away.
You're funny. You're a funny guy. No cigars either.
No. We'll do a little special of that other stuff, I'm thinking. We'll do a little bit of that. I do remember that year where you and I, it was a rough year for me, rough year for you, we were catching up. We boozed so fucking much, and we let everybody go ahead of us. And I had a cigar in one hand and one of something special, the wacky tobacco, in the other hand. And I just remember drinking, running down, going like, this is the cigar, this with the other one. Me and you fucking walking slowly. We're literally at the gate in front of fucking cops on that side, just finishing our shit. And I was like, this is not going to end well. That was the year I think you end up, maybe it was on the Boylston Street one because it was hot that. Or was that the year maybe I met up with that girl and her friends because it was warm and we started off fucking banged up before 11 o'clock before we even got into that game.
Well, there was a number of years that we did this. And one year you made us go to Remy's. Anyway, I'm going to cook baked Brussels sprouts and chicken wings tonight. I bought an air fryer. I don't know if I talked about the air fryer.
I've been getting pitches every day from you.
I love that fucking thing. I cook really well. I've always liked to cook really well, but I was suppressed for a long time with my cooking, and now I cook freely, and I cook really well.
You know, again, this gets back real quick to Belo's vices in your extreme fucking personality. Once you have your mind in something, like you were big into the workout and supplement, that kick, then you got into this. Now you're in this weird sushi, I'm never drinking again kick. You're all enough.
Sushi's been my kick for a long time. I'm into photography now.
Yeah, now you're into photography. You're setting up these fucking shots. You're sending me pictures. But even with the air fryer, that's another vice. You have to put everything into that. Every day, it's here are my fucking French fries. Here's my chicken. You got to get an air fryer. It's the best thing ever. You really have an addictive fucking personality. And I love that you never got into heavy fucking drugs or gambling, because I'm afraid of what the fuck you would have done. Because you are so extreme into the things that you get into, it's fucking frightening. I never seen anybody push an air fryer on their friends so much the way you do.
I'm the best salesman. Look at QVC. How many people bought fucking blue glasses because I was hooked into blue glasses for a long time?
It's the best thing ever. These glasses are the best thing ever. This air fry is the best thing ever. This sushi restaurant is the best sushi restaurant ever. You are fucking nuts with your shit.
Well, thank fucking God I'm out of the vodka stage, because...
You just took a bottle in a Poland Spring bottle yesterday. What are you talking about?
No, Thursday.
Oh, my bad. 3 days.
Today, I told you. Today, I'm never drinking again.
And I get that, too. Every day.
The last time when I was doing that was great, because that's when I was really, like, working out, because I was, like, you know, working out, fucking putting protein shake in my vodka. It was great.
That's nasty.
I was putting a Poland Spring bottle. I put in my protein powder and I chocolate protein powder, chocolate chip or something, and then I pour in some vodka and fucking shake it. It was great.
Before we go, let me get this straight. You don't like whiskey at all, or will you have some whiskey?
I will have whiskey.
So the reason I'm saying that is I got a bottle of Roe & Co. from Dublin, real smooth. I finally tracked down, and again, I don't know why I bought a bottle, because it's one more thing for me to move, because I'm not going to drink it between now and the end of fucking March. I finally got Conor McGregor's Proper 12.
I want to try that.
Man, you know, first of all, you know I'm a big Conor McGregor fan, but you know I'm a big whiskey guy. So I've had my fair share of whiskey throughout the years, and I could say that now I got to that level. I've even drank it from the motherland of all the whiskeys I tried in fucking Ireland, right? I love whiskey, and the Proper 12, you know my style, right? We call it the T-Blog. It's I do whiskey and ginger ale, right? So that's my go-to. If it's nice and smooth, I'll do it on over ice. So I'll do it on one ice cube, because it doesn't water it down. Drink before it gets watered down. That's a rarity. You got to be really smooth.
On the rocks.
On the rocks. And then neat.
Drink it watered down.
But neat, I drank during the Festivus podcast, and that's where I got a little bit buzzed, because neat, it's exactly that. It's not on ice, doesn't get watered down, and it's not mixed with ginger ale. Conor McGregor's Proper 12, I got a bottle for my cousin, went to his house. We poured about a quarter of a glass, just to sip it. It was on a Sunday night. And we ended up having that, and I got a 10-year bullet that was aged. That was really good, too. But the Proper 12, I'll open it up when you come to the Marathon Monday. It is so smooth. There's very few whiskeys that I come across that I drink neat. That just went down tasty. Doesn't have much of the afterburn, but it settles. You could feel it on your tongue, and just the rinse down as you swallow it, very nice. Conor McGregor. Guess being fucking from Dublin, being Irish, he did a good job by releasing this. Now, The Rock is putting out a tequila, because he's a big tequila guy. And I'm thinking he's losing a great marketing opportunity if he doesn't call it Rockila. But the whiskey, the Proper 12, if you want to pick up in the meantime or just wait, it's a really good whiskey.
I don't drink whiskey. I only drink vodka because it's really clean and light. And whiskey makes me violent. So you give me a little bit of it. Don't give me a lot of it.
Oh, it'll be a little, because I don't want to start Marathon Monday on a violent kick.
No. I, and again, I don't drink whiskey because it gets me really angry. And again, it's, you know, everybody has things. And again, it's not a bad thing to say. You know, if you know that, like sticking your finger in the outlet is going to make you get electrocuted, you just don't do it. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means I'm aware. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person or have a bad thing. I just have a bad side effect of something. Just like some people, you're lactose intolerant, you have milk, you have fucking gas. Yeah. Right? So you just don't have milk. I'm the same way with whiskey. But I can have one or two. After that, then I'll just get like the stone cold look in my face, and it's just all over after that.
Well, I'll give you a little sampling the morning Marathon Monday.
I definitely want to try it. I like that type of stuff too. Just like when Mr. Wonderful, you know, did his bottle of wine, you know, the Mr. Wonderful wine. you know, I had a bottle of that and tried it. So, you know, I like to try those types of things because, you know, I like the experience.
Well, hopefully, right. Matt, on Monday we could do that. We'll get a little sip going, maybe do a podcast and start the day. But
what the supposed to be on Marathon Monday?
I don't know what we're looking at now, but the way we're going with winter, odds are we're probably going to have a shitty start to spring. So I hope it's not a rainy, cold fucking day. But with that said, I know you got to go prepare your stuff. We got some good material out of here. It was great talking to you, B-Lo. Go ahead and get back to your fucking air frying that you love to do. And yeah. We'll pick this up again.
And I want some Tinder updates. Like, we need to have...
It's not Tinder. It's Hinge and Bumble.
Well, same fucking thing. I want to know... I want a daily count of how many lefts and how many rights you've done. Or how many rights you've done. How many, like, do you just sit there and, like, fly through 100 a day? Or
Yeah. Yeah, basically...
That many...
Well, here's what happens. They put girls back into the rotation again because, you know, it's a small demographic. When you whittle it down to age demographic and by miles, like, again, my demographic is 29 to 35 that I have it setting to, and I have it in under a 50-mile radius. I don't want to drive too far to fucking date someone. So after a while, if you don't do enough swiping, unless new people join or they meet someone and they turn off their account, you end up seeing the same people again, even though you swiped right on them or left, either way. So I'm assuming I come back on them too. So that's at some point the pool gets smaller or it gets refilled with the same people. So I'm going to
create a catfish account and I'm going to target 41-year-old men in Boston and I'm going to find you.
I guarantee me being the expert that I am, I will be able to tell if you're a catfish because now I'm really analytical about what I'm looking for. I could spot the man a mile away. I could spot the catfish. I could spot the overweight woman a mile away, the psycho single mom. I'm really good at this. So I told you, my rights are very selective. I probably, for every 150, I go one right. So we'll do an update. We'll keep this going, see what comes out of it. Hopefully, if I get on some dates with them and they get to know my personal life, they're willing to not bust my balls if I talk about it on the T-Podcast.
I still want to talk to somebody in your past.
We're a long way from that. When I get co-hosts and shit on there, the Woodwife girls and people from, guests that we can interview, eventually we'll get some women on here that are willing to talk about that. Good or bad, I'll let them have run freely to talk to you. And again, you're going to bring that up every time. I want to talk to Mary. One-on-one, let me interview Mary. That would be one hell of a show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do an interview with the Dear Mary voice. Dear Mary, what do you like about B-Lo?
Those are the good old days.
That was angry T waking up every morning just to come at you guys, and I used to come at you guys pretty fucking hard.
That was just fun. I remember the Dear Marys. They used to crack me up. Dear Mary, I'm never drinking again.
Oh, that was good shit. All right, brother.
Yeah. All right, peace be with you, and also with you. Lift up your heart. Lift up unto the Lord.
Lift them up to the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm going to meet a good woman in a church or a temple or wherever else people go to. So that goes. All right, man.
All right. I hope you like that podcast with myself and B-Lo shooting the shit. Soon enough, we'll have places to find B-Lo on social media. In the meantime, where to find me? On Instagram, TheTPodcast, the_T_podcast for all the podcast related stuff, and T-Blog. TBLAWG, all one word, for some amazing picks. I'm also on Twitter, TBlog, all one word. You can email me. You have some questions for myself and B-Lo that you liked about the show, that you didn't like, why we're so fucking crazy, things you want us to talk about, email me. And we'll get to it next time I have B-Lo on the show. We'll talk about it. So you can email me at t@t-blog.com. You can message me on the Facebook page, following T-Blog. And of course, here on iTunes and the place that started it all, tblog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday. So I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about my conversations with B-Lo as we talk about different topics throughout, and definitely reach out to us, and we'll be on here. So as you know, we close this out. Until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, 'cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.